Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, Dolphins fans, haters, and everyone in between to your favorite show discussing the greatest franchise in sports, the Miami Dolphins. This is the Fins Pod. My name is Moose, your host, and the Miami Dolphins absolutely dismantled the Houston Texans over the weekend. Now, we knew going into the matchup that Miami should secure the victory here, but there were still some concerns. The Texans were a team playing for nothing. Miami's coming off a bye, maybe reading some of their press. So it was setting up to be a potential trap game. Even on the show last week, I predicted a sluggish start before eventually they would get rolling. And I could not have been more wrong. The Dolphins came out of the gates hot and dominated on both sides of the ball. The offense was cooking, so much so they got taken out in the second half. The defense was smothering, and even Jason Sanders contributed. So you know it was an all-around good game. Now, there were some negatives to draw on, mainly from the second half, as well as some injury concerns. But all things considered, you'll take an easy win in the National Football League whenever you can get one. So let's cover the performance, get into our studs and duds. Let's go, and let's dive in. The Dolphins took it to the Houston Texans this past Sunday, winning 30-15. And when you consider the score was 30-0 going into half, that final score, despite being more than two touchdowns, covering the spread, it wasn't even that close. The Dolphins came out firing, with the connection between Tua and Waddle and Tua and Hill not being rusty whatsoever. Tua was really sharp, but his weapons were getting open, and the game plan was perfectly designed to target the Houston Texans' weaknesses in coverage. Specifically, Miami was feasting over the middle of the field. Neither Waddle or Hill really went off, but both combined to be incredibly effective. And when you consider that they were sitting for the majority of the second half, you realize just how dominant the offense was this past Sunday. Jalen Waddle finished the game hauling in 5 passes for 85 yards, with Tyreek Hill garnering 85 yards as well on 6 catches. And River Craycraft made himself known. He hauled in 4 passes for 55 yards, moved the chains a lot, and Trent Sherfield, as reliable as ever, making a few tough catches, namely that 4th-and-1 conversion on the touchdown drive. Look, I get why Cedric Wilson and Eric Ezukanma aren't getting that much looks right now because, I mean, Trent Sherfield is not giving it up. He has been balling. He's been making the tough catches over the middle, and that's something you want to see. So the depth at the receiver position, I think, is far better than we anticipated. Of course, everyone knew that the top would be heavy with Hill and Waddle, but knowing that you guys got guys like Craycraft and Sherfield and Wilson and even Ezukanma when he comes in, that's exciting for the future and in case of any injuries. Unfortunately, though, although the passing game was there, the ground game was just non-existent. Despite the dominance on offense and controlling the time of possession, nothing on the ground could really get going. Raheem Mostert was out nursing an injury, so the show was all Jeff Wilson's, and unfortunately, the holes just weren't there. He finished the game totaling only 39 yards on 13 carries with 1 touchdown, and Myles Gaskin came in for cleanup duty when all the starters were resting. It was one of the first times that we've seen him sport in that new number. Looks pretty good, but he too was limited when rushing. He finished with 17 yards on 6 attempts. Now, you hope that Miami was struggling on the ground because Houston came in focused on shutting down the run. That was their game plan. We're going to make Tua beat us, which is kind of a dumb game plan. But regardless, even if the Houston Texans had that philosophy, you would want to see a few runs pop off. That would have been nice, especially when you consider the tougher opponents that the Dolphins have coming up, who can limit your passing a little more, as well as stop the run at a higher clip. Overall, though, for this game, the Dolphins showed exactly what you wanted at this point in the season. Because if you believe, like I believe, that this is a team that can make a serious run in the playoffs and perhaps even compete for the AFC Conference title, then you beat teams you're supposed to. With Tua healthy, Miami has done exactly that. You want to be firing on all cylinders coming into November, and the defense pitching a near shutout on a bad team with the offense carving up a bad defense to the tune of 30-0 at halftime is exactly what you want to see. Think about it. Over the last few years, whenever the top teams, Kansas City or Buffalo namely, is playing a bad team, you expect annihilation. We got annihilation. If you're a good team but not great, you may still win that game, but it would be a tougher, closer matchup. There'd be some punches thrown back. But in this NFL, everyone plays with pride and everyone plays with dignity. So when you go into a game on Sunday, records don't matter. And we should know that because we've been that bad team that ruins the season for other teams, mainly the Patriots. But hey, the Lions also pulled off a near upset on Thanksgiving against Buffalo when no one really gave them a shot. Miami could have pulled off a squeaker this week, right? They could have come off the bye a little lethargic, but instead they let the NFL world know who they are. They're a team with solid defense, special teams, elite weapons on the offensive side who can kill you at any moment. Before we get into some of the bad news, the injury news, specifically with Teron Armstead, I do want to talk about the studs and duds of this game. Our first stud, surprisingly, not on offense. I was thoroughly impressed with the way the defense came out. Yes, it's a bad team. Yes, it's Kyle Allen, but you should smother him, and that's exactly what happened. The first stud, second-year lineman who continues to blossom, Jalen Phillips. Phillips is seemingly only getting better since they've added Bradley Chubb, and he was all over the field on Sunday. He finished the game with 6 tackles and a sack. Because not only is he now getting those sack numbers, racking them up, but he is disrupting the opponent's rhythm by getting into the backfield, pushing the pocket. He is disruptive on the outside, and the fact that he's only in year two with a lot left to learn with Bradley Chubb opposite, that is very exciting because you can tell since Chubb's come in, he's done a great job learning. And again, I'm excited to see how that duo with him and Chubb, they play opposite each other in these big games that are going to be coming up. Our first dud of the game, welcome back, Austin Jackson. I personally was not a fan of inserting Austin Jackson back into the starting lineup, which had seemingly found a bit of a groove, but whether it's the draft pedigree he comes with or the untapped potential, Austin Jackson just keeps finding a way into the starting unit. He suited up at right tackle, replacing vet Brandon Schell, and you could sense the difference immediately. Yes, the team was moving the ball, but there was far more penetration on that side of the football and on that side of the line. Tua was needing to step up more. He was seemingly getting beat on a more consistent basis. Look, Jackson needs to get stronger and not get bullied so often, and he was not big in the ground game either. We just talked about how the running game was non-existent, and no doubt he played a role. Overall, Austin Jackson struggled, and to be fair, it was his first action back since he got injured, but you need better play on the line in order to sustain the success, and I'm worried Austin Jackson cannot be that guy. And now, with the status of Teron Armstead up in the air, Jackson might be forced into action, so it'll be important that we keep an eye on his development and his injury as well, because he did leave the game with an ankle, so if he can't go, it's even worse. Our second stud of the game, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, when you consider he threw for nearly 300 yards in the opening half, it's hard to not be on the studs list. He finished the game 22 of 36, 299 yards, 1 touchdown, and no interceptions. He continues to play smart, executing those plays exactly as designed. Plus, he's starting to show some other growth as well. The two things I want to touch on first, his pocket presence. Tua is able to feel bodies flying around him very well, and that explains why his sack rate is so low compared to other quarterbacks in this league, especially other quarterbacks who are pressured as often as Tua is. Yep, the line has improved, but I think they're helped by Tua getting rid of the ball quickly and decisively, but also by his innate ability to maneuver when within the pocket. step up when you need to, step aside, allow the rush to flow by you. These are all skills which, again, some quarterbacks have and some don't. And it's great to see that Tua does have them, and we saw that on display in the first half. And the second thing is his mobility. One thing people do not give Tua any credit for is the fact that he can extend plays with his legs. And no, I don't foresee that meaning he's running the ball for 40 yards per game, breaking off a 15-yard scamper, but he's beginning to show the ability to extend and make plays. The first glimpse was back in week two when Miami was down big against the Ravens on that third and goal when the comeback sort of mounted. Tua did a nice little pirouette, got out of the pocket, and found River Craycraft for a score. This week, he didn't do any fancy spin move, but on second and goal early in the game, I believe for the first touchdown, Tua bought time in the pocket. He looked around, no one was open, the line was doing a good job. Eventually, someone broke through, he stepped to the side, he stepped up, escaped to his left, and then found Durham Smythe in the end zone for a touchdown. That's him. That's him extending the play, his receivers staying with the play, and him ultimately finding the right guy. Overall, Tua Tagovailoa's play is ascending. You see that week to week. And no, it might not have been a 350-yard, three-touchdown day, but it very well could have, if not more, if our defense didn't come to play as well. Our defense essentially made it a non-game by halftime because the Houston offense was not moving the ball at all, so there was no reason to have Tua in there and risk injury just to pad some stats and help some fantasy teams out. Our second dud of the game goes to Mike Gesicki. Here's the issue with Gesicki. It's not like he was needed in this game plan. He wasn't even targeted, so how can you really blame him for no catches and no yards? My issue with his play this season is the fact that he's purely a game plan piece. He's not a difference maker. If Miami believes he can be used effectively, then you'll see him get targets, but he isn't necessary for our offense to be productive, as we saw yesterday. I want him to be a factor week in and week out. And whether you want to blame that on his inability to block as why he's not seeing the field and why Durham Smythe is catching those touchdowns, or if you want to credit the other weapons who are taking away targets, that's all fair. But for a guy who wants to be paid like a top-tier tight end, you want to see top-tier tight end production. And we aren't seeing that. And again, I don't know who to blame, but he at the very least takes on some of that. And look, Gesicki's good for a spectacular play here and there. We've seen him bail this offense out with an amazing catch. But I just wanted to see more consistency from him, a guy who has that elite-level potential at the tight end position. And although he seems to work in this offense, and you know he has, like I said, made plays, it's just not consistent. It's not someone that the defense seems to need to worry about. He's an outlet if the other guys are covered, if Tua looks his way, but we're not really setting him up for anything, which to me speaks to how this offense values him, which is not high. And another game with no catches, no targets. I mean, he might have been targeted once in the red zone, but he is not really coming down with those 8 catch games, 70 yards, a touchdown. They're sporadic and few and far between. I'm hoping that Miami gets him more involved down the stretch to help open things up for the offense at large. Having a pass-catching tight end is very helpful. Most teams do not. But so far this season, Gesicki has not really been a top-level factor to our success. We're having success without him. And that's why this week he's on the duds list. Our final stud goes to Alandon Roberts. Look at that, two defensive studs. And look, if you've been a follower of the show, you know I have not been Roberts' biggest fan. I think he's extremely limited and frankly a liability out in coverage. But when the game plan asks for a heat-seeking missile to stop the run, Alandon Roberts is your guy. He had a great game and is a big piece in why our run defense has been so stout over the last month. He finished the contest with 7 tackles and a sack of his own. Overall, the linebacker position is one that I think Miami's gonna address come the offseason because we need a thumper like Roberts, but someone who can also play in coverage. That's what we drafted Channing Tindall for. But for now, the leadership and tenacity he brings cannot be understated. It's needed in this defense. And I'm glad to see the role that Alandon has carved out for this defense is paying dividends. You need that heat-seeking missile who can stuff a quarterback on a quarterback sneak, who can come in there, stop the run, and be physical and consistent, because at times our team does lack some physicality. So that cannot be understated how important he is to the mentality and mindset of this defense. The last dud in a game which, again, didn't feature many, once again goes to the offensive line, specifically Brandon Schell. And here's the thing, I don't really blame him about this one. He played like poop, but I don't blame him. Because when Teron Armstead went down, and we're going to get into that, the Dolphins were forced to do some shuffling along the line. With Austin Jackson on the right side, they just plopped Brandon Schell in at left tackle. And he hasn't been practicing there. He hasn't played there all season. So it's really a tough ask to be like, hey, no reps, but hey, do your best. Quickly, prior to the Dolphins pulling Tua, you saw how bad the line was and how the edges were so exposed with both Austin Jackson and Brandon Schell at tackle. And that happened later in the game when you have the two guys who might be starting this week. Look, I don't like putting him on the duds list, and there's a reason he is the last dud mentioned. There aren't a lot of options here. But again, I can't blame a guy for not excelling in a spot he wasn't prepping for. You would just hope for a better performance given the opponent, right? Even if you are thrown off from the bench, like, hey, we need you, go play. It is the Houston Texans, so you wouldn't want it to look that bad. So again, he does deserve a spot on the list, but I also don't blame him as a result of how it wasn't really planned. You didn't expect to have this guy come in last second emergency tackle. So it's important we keep an eye on it going forward, because that brings us to the last topic that we're going to address, and that's coming out of Miami's easy victory against the worst team in the league, injuries. Specifically, two injuries which caused some panic in Dolphins circles. First, newly acquired Jeff Wilson left the game with what looked like to be a knee injury. The good news is he returned to action, and although he's definitely banged up, I'd fully expect him to be ready to go come this weekend. Miami did eventually play Myles Gaskin for the majority of the second half, but we did see Wilson get a few carries in those meaningless snaps later in the game. So if there was any reason for concern, long-term or short-term, you probably would not have seen him thrown back out there with such a big lead. But we did, so that's good news. Where things get tricky is along the offensive line. Two tackles were removed from the game. First, Austin Jackson. He left with the ankle injury. And now, regardless of his health, I don't want to see Jackson starting when we're fully healthy. But again, we might not have a choice. This is a team that is ready to win now. So having a liability out there on the line is not helping. But again, the news of Teron Armstead might force Miami's hand and start Austin Jackson, because Armstead left the game with a pectoral injury, and some feared his season was done. The good news, according to Ian Rappaport, is that Armstead suffered a pectoral strain, not a major tear, so he'll likely just be out 1 or 2 weeks, but not the season. And yes, I know we have some of our toughest tests going into this 1 or 2 week stretch, but if you're talking long-term success with this team, playoff success, you need a healthy Teron Armstead. I would rest him. I'd play it safe. Only play him when the chance of re-injury is close to none. In the meantime, and we'll get into this in our next episode, Miami's going to have to shuffle the line and ensure that they have the best five out there. If that means some combination of Schell, Greg Little, and Jackson, if that means kicking Robert Hunt to tackle for a stretch, whatever it is, Miami needs to have a contingency plan in place to help keep this offense rolling. Because it is clear now, the one thing that can stop this offense is the offense itself, specifically the offensive line. Poor protection for Tua, forcing him to get off his spot, mess with the timing of plays. That's how mistakes are made in the league. And when you consider that we got away with it by playing the dregs of the NFL, that isn't going to be the case going forward. Miami has Bosa and the aggressive Niners front coming up, so a plan has to be put into place quickly. Here's the thing. Knowing that Armstead's likely out for at least this game and Austin Jackson's health is in question, I still have faith in this staff. They're going to know their starting five linemen as early as Monday, and they have a full week to prepare a game plan with those limiting factors in mind. You know, maybe Tua doesn't have to sit back there and hold the ball for 3 to 5 seconds. Instead, Miami may lean into calling plays that rely on him getting the ball out fast, leaning into the RPO game, establishing some semblance of a ground attack, and being creative with pitches and sweeps. Get Waddle and Hill involved in the run game. We really haven't seen that a lot this season. And spread out the defense to help alleviate any pressure that Tua is going to face. If Miami can do that, game plan around this weakness and practice with a plan in place for a full week, knowing, look, we got two not great players on the edge, so this is how we're going to have to attack the Niners, then I still think this offense can make noise. And that's going to be needed as we travel west to face a searing hot 49ers team looking to knock us down. It's going to be a big game, and it's going to be one the whole nation is going to have an eye on. I know the Teron Armstead news makes us feel much more concerned as a collective fan base, but have faith in the coaches. Have faith that they will coach these guys up and put a game plan together which protects their weaknesses. And we're going to see come Sunday, but I, for one, have a ton of confidence in this offensive coaching staff. They've earned it. And hey, the defense seems to be coming on as well. So there's a shot that we don't get into that shootout that everyone expects, rather a low-scoring, ball-control style of game. Like I said, though, we're going to be getting much deeper in the weeds with this game. Who needs to step up, the keys to victory, an overall game plan, and, of course, our score prediction. So stay tuned for that one.
And you got to say yes to her, he is. Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely he is. And as much as I talk about distance travel, just from where we thought he would be, for him to be in this conversation, that's an incredible distance travel right there. Tua, the way he's playing, I know everybody's talking 7-0 when he starts and finishes games, his completion percentage, all of that. After Tyreek Hill told us this was coming, nobody believed it was coming. He's absolutely closing the gap. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. I believe not just him closing the gap on Patrick Mahomes for the MVP. I certainly believe Miami is closing the gap on Kansas City for the best team in the NFL. In the AFC, we can discuss all of that, too. Tua is the man right now.
That's going to do it for us here today. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Fins Pod. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you, as always, to Timothy Ritchie, Brian Guger, Chris, Commander Pig, and Dan Kolbasowski, members of the pod and supporters of the show over on Patreon. Check that out. Links in the description or head to patreon.com/finspod. Thank you all so much for the continued support. That really means a lot. And remember to like the video if you enjoyed the show. Subscribe just so you never miss a chance to chat about your Miami Dolphins. And remember that the show is available on all platforms. You can get FinsPod on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and of course here on YouTube. Continue the conversation with us over on Twitter and Instagram at FinsPod. I hope you all have an amazing day. And until next time, stay safe. Love y'all.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.